Reaches people, including those hard-to-get young people. Radio goes where they go and talks their language, recognizing the importance of contemporary sound.
And the sounds are instantly recognizable as belonging to the in-groups currently on top of the charts.
CITR, 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
It's wild.
Welcome to the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. My name is Kelly Rayburn, and we're going to be having a special guest onto the show now. Our special guest is Mark Stockbrox, who is the Access Stickers with three S's, Access Stickers Project. Michael will be talking to him. So here's Michael right now. Hello, Michael.
Hi, Kelly, and it's good to be here. I have with me today Mark Stockbrox, and he is with Access Stickers, the Access Stickers Project, I believe you said it was.
Exactly, that's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so what exactly are you trying to get going with Access Stickers Project?
Well, I'm sort of a latecomer in life to my wheelchair. I had a stroke at 31 years old, so mm-hmm. I lived an able-bodied life up until 2011 when I had a stroke. And so being in a different vantage point, I've really noticed from a seated level a different sort of vertical strata where my eyes are. Because I'm 6'4", admittedly I never would have thought of wheelchair accessibility as an able-bodied person, so I do get it that it's often overlooked.
Yeah. So.
But now I'm in that position, so I see it firsthand all the time. I mean, navigating with wheels is a challenge, and I think Vancouver, we've mm-hmm. done a decent job of providing access to people with physical impairments, but. I think it's always good to champion more and more.
Well, there's still a lot more work to be done.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So that's where someone like me comes in. And this campaign, I think, is about raising awareness because, you know, a lot of people that I do approach, they don't realize until someone mentions it. And obviously people want to do the right thing. It's just mm-hmm. that they need someone to make them aware and speak up about it.
Well, part of what doing the right thing is the question is, it has to be directed to the person who's going to use it.
That's true.
It's like you can come up with all kinds of fancy things, but if the person who's going to use it isn't comfortable,
that's right.
It's not really good, is it?
That's a great point. You know, because I'm not exactly sure of what the legislation is for allowing for accessibility in new construction. I think we're getting more new construction, but it's not always. It's the builder's conception of what mm-hmm. accessibility means. So it oftentimes isn't as practical as people would think. So yeah, indeed, I do agree. We need consultation with actual people, the users, people in wheelchairs or walkers or what have you.
Yeah,
they need to have input because those are the people that are using it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I know we have a number of ramps and everything. We have the door openers, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I guess a really good question is, how do you rate the studio itself, CITR?
Okay.
How is that?
Well, actually, you know, The building is definitely accessible, so I put an Access Hero sticker near the push to open button, because that's, I mean, myself having the use of one arm, it's so difficult because I have to steer and control my wheelchair, and at the same time I don't have a third arm, so I need that. And I think a lot of people in wheelchairs are in a weakened state, they're ill, or it's mm-hmm. and it's you have to open the door pretty wide to get the width of the wheelchair through.
Right.
So something like a push to open button is vital. I was able to enter the building just fine. I knocked on the side door, and one of your members here opened it for me.
Oh, for the studio itself?
Right, that's right.
Okay, yeah.
Which, I mean, I can understand why it's not open. You have a lot of equipment in here and such.
It's secure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah so I get that.
When there's no one in here, we actually are given a code to get the door open.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
So
yeah,
that makes sense. That makes sense, but there was somebody available to open the door?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
that was helpful.
So it wasn't a lot of hassle or not a lot of hassle?
I'd say no. I mean, I knocked on the door, and it was, someone arrived quite promptly to open the door for me. So that was all good. Yeah. No, so, it wasn't difficult.
What kind of rating system do you use for entry into a building?
First thing I look for is the push to open button. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's important.
Yeah.
Secondarily, I mean, if there's stairs, that doesn't fly for wheelchairs. So in that case, we need ramps. This building's well ramped, actually.
Yeah.
Some nice ramps. And thirdly, I would look at washroom accessibility, because that's key. You know, I mean, who wants to have that happen? Very few people want that.
Yeah. So having access to it, it's something that maybe somebody wouldn't think of right off, but.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's another thing that's under the radar, sort of a sideline, but it's so important. Mm-hmm. And like what I do in the community, I go a lot with friends and family to different bars, restaurants, theaters, clubs, etc. And even if I don't have to use the facilities, I'll go and check it out anyway. I'll just ask, like, hey, where are your washrooms, and do you have wheelchair access?
Right.
And then I'll ask them to come with me, whether it be the manager or owner or whoever, staff, just to come with me and scope it out, because oftentimes, most often, it's not accessible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to begin with, a lot of places don't have door openers. And they're closed doors, but even if you can't open the door, they have hydraulic latches on them to close them,
mm-hmm.
and it's very heavy. So oftentimes the solution is quite simple, just to remove that. And it's up to the building owners, not each individual restaurateur or business owner. So that's a lot of emailing back and forth and checking back and badgering and pestering and stuff, but I've seen change happen by doing that, so it's worth it.
Right. Well, anything's possible. So do you have like an ABC rating system, or scale through 1 to 10? How does that work?
At this point, I mainly look for access. Like front entry is key, and washrooms.
Okay.
Yep.
So I guess we... The UBC and CITR did pretty okay then?
Yeah, okay. I think so. All right. I think so. I mean, I haven't surveyed the whole campus, but maybe that's something I'll form.
Yeah, just because this is actually one of the newer buildings.
Yeah, okay.
So,
well, that maybe stands to reason why it does.
Because I imagine some of the older buildings may not be.
Right, it's expensive to retrofit.
Right.
A lot of places are pretty hesitant, reluctant mm-hmm. to do that, so. Which I kind of understand, but I still don't accept it. I try to educate and promote and just say, like, especially with businesses, I find that business owners aren't too interested in investing the capital to have door openers installed. But the point I try to make is that the more people that come into your store or business or anything, organization, whatever,
mm-hmm.
you're just going to do more business, you know. So it's going to increase profit.
It pays off in the end.
Absolutely. I mean, the capital expense pays for itself relatively quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know places I go. I have a lot of friends and family. We go out, and yeah, we do tend to spend a significant amount of money in these places. So,
yeah,
and I know that they have a return on their investment. Absolutely.
Yeah,
and that will pay off for years and years to come.
Yeah. So, and it's just something that just hit me, and it has something, and it's part of your backstory because before your stroke,
yeah,
you sent me something that said that that you were a teacher in Japan.
Yeah, I was. I taught in Sapporo in Tokyo for 6 years.
Yeah,
and I came back to Canada, and I was wondering what I'm going to do as a career transition.
Mm-hmm. What were you teaching?
I was teaching English and geography.
Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
And to an age range of like, I worked in an immersion elementary school. So from kindergarten, I think my oldest students were in their 90s. So it was a great opportunity to learn a lot about Japan because I had interaction with such a wide cross section of the people. It was awesome.
Wow.
Great experience. I loved it.
Yeah. They have a really cool culture.
Oh, they're awesome. Yeah.
I thought I'd turn that off.
Yeah. So I came home.
Yeah.
And tried to plug back in because I had been gone for 6 years.
Right.
And I found an opportunity with Métis Nation BC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says something about with them you were a firefighter trainer.
Yeah, I was in firefighter training with a guest chief officer for training. He was from Alberta.
Uh-huh.
I mean, things went well. I'm 6'4", about 200 pounds, so I think he liked my stature and my fitness testing level. So
mm-hmm.
he wanted to bring me back to Alberta, and I thought, oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll go there, post out there for, cut my teeth, gain some experience, and then I'll try to post back home to BC, Vancouver in particular. But obviously that didn't come to fruition because I had this stroke out of nowhere. It's just random. I mean, it's a congenital birth defect, so it's something I was born with, and it's not something you know until it happens.
Right.
So it's unusual.
Yeah. It's a very young age to have that level of a stroke.
Yeah, I was 31.
Yeah.
But, I'm actually incredibly super lucky because on many levels, I mean, I survived. That's massive, obviously. I've retained my speech because a lot of stroke survivors have speech disorders, and I was spared that, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
I am triplegic, which is, I haven't heard another case of triplegia. Usually it's hemi, which means one side, or it's para, which is two legs.
Right.
Or it's quad, which is all four
Everything.
Limbs. Yeah. So I'm the only triplegic that I've heard of. If there's any triplegics out there, get a hold of me. I'd love to talk to you.
Yeah.
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 That'd be interesting.
The other part of the backstory is how we actually met. We met in a hotel before a book seminar.
That's right. We attended the book publishing seminar at the Fairmont.
Yeah, and I thought maybe it was an accident or something because you have use of the one arm.
Yeah, yeah.
It's more common, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and a lot of people assume it's a spinal cord injury because I can still talk, and I'm cognitively relatively intact.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
I'm of a younger demographic somewhat. I think I am.
Yeah. Did some of it have to do maybe with the fact that because brain function and health levels, you were very physically fit.
Yeah, I definitely survived because of the fitness level due to the training.
Because you said before, and this is going to lead into something because I want to find out something
okay.
After. Because you said you were very active in athletics outdoors.
Oh, yeah. I love that stuff.
You're talking about fishing and camping, snowboarding, all that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
All really cool activities, right?
I played basketball, rugby, golf, tennis. I mean, I loved being active and teammates and just moving your body is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And being outside. Yeah, I mean, I cherish that stuff. And I'm really happy that I had those experiences because along this journey, I've met a lot of people in chairs, and some of them, it's been since birth, so they've never had that opportunity to experience what it's like. So,
yeah. So how much of this can you still do?
In terms of what?
Like the outdoor activities, is there anything like you can you still camp? Can you still go fishing? Any of that?
Great questions. You know, I do still camp, albeit in a different way. There's a outdoor wilderness camp near Summerland that I've been to a couple times called Ager Lake. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, they're incredible. They have paved paths around the lake with an accessible floating dock you can fish off of.
Right.
I haven't caught anything there yet, but that's just my luck, right? So
yeah. Sometimes I've gone fishing. I've never caught a fish. It's like I've cooked other people's fish, but yeah. I've never caught one myself. But Summerlin is that's a really, really great. I know for a fact that their government is about helping people with disabilities because mm-hmm. of another project that I was in. We walked through Summerland for awareness for fibromyalgia, which is kind of a more hidden disability, but definitely a disability,
For sure. I also involved with the Disabled Sailing Association, which is part of the initiatives by the Disability Foundation, formerly known as the Sam Sullivan Foundation.
Oh, okay.
Remember our former mayor who was in a chair?
He's currently MLA of False Creek. Yeah.
Yeah. I used to live in Yale Town, so I'd see him around.
Yeah.
Say hi.
Actually, I think he wants to run for leadership of the Liberal Party.
That's right. Yeah,
very smart guy, very active guy. Again.
Oh, yeah.
He's
very intelligent.
He's circumvented the globe how many times with his chair?
I'll ask him. I'll mention it. I'll bring that up.
Because especially with the Olympics, I know he had to travel a lot with the Olympics and stuff, and he probably still does a lot of
that's
that.
That's great. It's great to have an ambassador on our side, right?
Right.
For sure.
Yeah. So you still sound, it sounds like you're very, very active.
I'm the same guy. I just, I go to concerts a lot. I get out. I mean, volunteer at the Fringe Festival. I volunteer at the Folk Festival. So I am involved in the community as much as I can be. I've always been active, so the only thing that slowed me down is I can't walk. I do everything. I'm just the same guy. I just can't walk or stand. It's really the core of it. So I just keep on keeping on, and life's good.
Yeah. All right. Looks like Kelly's signaling us for... No? We still got 3 minutes. Okay, we still got 3 minutes. Okay. Well, that's an important point to know. You saying we'll jump back at this, that you're still the same guy, you're still the same thought process.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's something that people...
A lot of the same interests. I mean, I used to do a bit of woodworking, and I still do. I do a lot, as much as I can. I'm in the... At I-Cord at VGH, it's the spinal injury record, it's a world famous facility for spinal cord injury research. They have a workshop there with the Tetra Society.
Mm-hmm.
So I get in there, build things that I need, adaptive stuff for my apartment to just make life easier on a daily basis. They're fantastic.
Still have the skills, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I can do a lot with one arm. I do as much as I can.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised with a little bit of thought. And time is also an issue. Everything takes me longer, obviously, because I have to maneuver myself in my chair so that my right arm is, for example, like on a counter, if I'm making toast or something,
mm-hmm.
I need to pull up with my right arm. I need to pivot 360 degrees sometimes. So everything just takes a little bit longer. It's all doable. It just takes longer.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, so it's kind of so you're able to make with this woodworking class. You're able to make a lot of stuff that you actually need.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, any good at making cabinets?
I can make anything.
I asked that because I'd love to have some cabinets made.
What are we looking for? Some cocobolo or some curly maple hardwood or some sort?
Maybe. Yeah.
Cool.
Let me see what the wife has to say about that.
All right. Yeah. You guys consult and.
Yeah. I'm going to toss it back to Kelly here, and he's going to take us to a break. How's that?
All right. So thank you very much, Michael. You are tuned into the Community Living Show here on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. We will be back in just a moment with more interview with Mark Stockbrooks, who is the Access Stickers Project. We'll be back in a moment. You're tuned into the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of each year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting exclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and more. For more information, contact your local stations about the National Access Day.
An enabled FM chip in your smartphone can make the difference in an emergency situation by allowing you to still hear critical updates. It will also let you listen to the local FM station using 3 times less battery and 20 times less data than streaming. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
I think the news midweek, when midweek news broke that Teo Dezar wasn't going to be playing in this game.
Growing sport, and to do it on a university campus with an educational message behind it.
They'll be facing off against all the big teams from all the other conferences and the nationals.
Want to be a CITR sports broadcaster? Looking for a cool way to get involved in UBC sports? Then email sports101@citr.ca or come by our station in the Nest to find out more. See you soon.
You're tuned in to the Community Living Show on the National Campus Radio Association Networks. My name is Kelly Rayburn. Along with me is Michael Rubin and our guest, Michael Stockbrooks, who is the Access Stickers Project. Now I'm going to pass it over to Michael. Michael, it's all yours.
Thanks, Kelly. And we're still here with Mark. And I kind of asked Mark to help out with some of the... Because he does carpentry and he can build cabinets. It doesn't sound like you actually let the stroke stop you.
No, because I'm still, I don't even see myself as a wheelchair user. In my mind, I'm still just as able-bodied as ever. I just can't stand. I mean, but. Cognitively, I'm fully intact, so that doesn't stop me at all.
Yeah.
No.
I guess the point is why should it? And the message should be to those people who think that because you've had a stroke that your cognitive should be any different.
Right.
Probably not.
Well, I can't say that's the same for all cases. I mean, it is individual.
Yeah, I've known some other folks that have had strokes, and as my one friend, he worked through his stroke. People are like, well, they had an attitude of, well, what would he know anyway? It's like he had a stroke. The stroke took away his mind, mm-hmm. and as he started working through things, it's like he answered back one time. And he said, "No, my mind is perfectly sound."
Oh, good on
him. It's like just because I have a little trouble expressing myself, doesn't mean that my thoughts aren't still there.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And
certainly, there's a condition called aphasia and dysphagia, where you know you're trying to say something, but it's like a stutter.
Mm-hmm.
I've been through several rehab facilities and I've seen it over and over, and I couldn't imagine that frustration. So I really do appreciate everything that I can do still. I mean, speaking, communication's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And in the rehab facilities I've been to and people I see and meet, I tell them just to focus on what you can do and not what you can't do, because you can still offer a lot. You just have to try your best and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, With your campaign and everything, have the city, has Vancouver especially, because you live in Vancouver, right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. You don't live in...
I'm in Kitts.
You're in Kitts. Okay. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Yeah.
Has Kitts been warm in opening about your campaign? The businesses and everything?
There have been, yeah, some victories. I mean, the building I live in is 100% disabled. You need to be deemed permanently disabled by the province to enter.
Mm-hmm.
It's called PWD. It means persons with disabilities.
Right.
And so there's a pharmacy near us that everybody goes to, London Drugs at Broadway and Vine. So everyone in my building goes there for their meds, pretty much. I mean, I would think it's the biggest and it's the most professional pharmacy mm-hmm. in my area. So, and the front entrance has those double doors that open automatically through a sensor.
Yeah.
And they do have like a ramp for wheelchairs and whatever wheeled things you have.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's great. And, but what I found was that the washrooms, you'd have to go beg a staff member to come with you and open the door and maybe even wait for you to open it again. So I figured that's, we shouldn't be doing that these days.
Right.
Especially, I mean, there's no excuse at all. The infrastructure might be costly, but over the years, my building in their administration of pharmaceuticals, they're making tens and tens of thousands of dollars over the years, which turns into hundreds of thousands of dollars. So to not be able to access and do something as simple as just use the washroom, I found that strange. So
yeah.
So I approached them and just kind of went up the ladder of management until it got back to corporate, and they contacted me, and fair play to those guys. They did make the necessary changes. So
yeah.
Good on them.
Yeah, an organization like London Drugs, when you consider that they're nationwide, and how much business did they actually do, and how much rent did they would actually pay, that if it's a landlord issue, I'm sure they have a lot of influence over that landlord. They're London Drugs.
Right.
The same thing with maybe some of the some of the supermarkets and things like that. You would think that they have a lot of influence because of being nationwide.
Yeah.
All that sort of stuff.
Right? Yeah. I don't know the particulars about each individual store, franchise owner, if they mm-hmm. own the buildings. I mean, I have no way of knowing
yeah.
that. But I think a lot of the supermarkets are pretty decent from what I recall. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's not just about wheelchairs.
Yeah.
You know, it's any mobility impairment, people with walkers, canes,
mm-hmm.
mothers with strollers. I mean, even just down to delivery guys, delivery persons, you know, people need to get through doors efficiently and quickly.
Right.
And safely. So I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah. Okay. That was the one question that I missed from the last segment is, and since you've had rescue training, exits. We've gone through the entrance.
Yeah.
Well, what about exiting in case of an emergency?
Awesome question, actually, and that has come up in the case of London Drugs, because you can get in, but mm-hmm. I also had to mention that you need to be able to get out as well, because in my case, as a result of stroke, I have acquired epilepsy. So if I'm in a room by myself and I have an extended seizure, there's huge risk of further brain damage,
right.
and even death. I mean, I lost a friend last year. She had an extended seizure and unfortunately ended up passing on. So that's a big point as well, is you need to be able to get out, absolutely.
Yeah. So, okay, that was something I was not expecting to hear. But it kind of makes sense because it's all to do with the brain, right?
Yeah.
The stroke and everything is
yeah.
all still to do with the brain. So do you wear something that tells if you're, do you live in a group setting?
No, I live independently on my own.
You live alone.
Yeah.
Do you have an alert thing if you have a seizure? Do signals help?
I don't. I mean, I know when they're coming, so.
Yeah. Okay.
I can feel them coming.
Okay.
And I'm still conscious and alert.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's another fortunate thing is that I'm able to communicate to people around me, like, this is happening, but don't worry, don't panic. I'm not in pain. It's just, it'll pass.
Right.
And it does. And then I can explain to them after.
Yeah.
And then I'm wiped out and super tired, and then I have to go home and lie down or something. So, yeah, absolutely. You need to be able to get out. People with disabilities have a whole range of secondary and tertiary disorders. So mm-hmm. those need to be accounted for as well. So exit is just as important as entrance. Yes. Thanks mm-hmm. for bringing that up, Michael.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, because it was something that I used to be a rescue worker back east, and I never had to rescue anybody with a disability because of who I was actually rescuing, but it was just something that I thought of. I was like,
yeah.
Hey, wait a second, you can get in, but getting back out quickly and and easily would
Vital.
Become a problem, right?
Vital,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, you know, not just like say you're in the London Drugs. And an emergency happens, and everybody has to exit. You know, how does the door open back the other way so that you can get back out again?
Right. Yeah. So they did install a pushed open button on the inside as well, which is a relief.
Mm-hmm.
Relief. Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm glad other people can benefit as well.
Right.
Because I mean, my stroke happened relatively young, and I do have some vigor and energy maybe that the older population of stroke survivors doesn't. So I am able to speak up on their behalf.
Yeah.
I mean, I can get out myself without a pushed open button because I've had years of practice now, but
right.
I'm certain that a lot of people in a weakened state, if they have to be in a wheelchair, maybe they don't have the strength, right?
Right.
So that's another point that...
Yeah, and your chair itself... It seems to have a good chunk of power to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, comment before when I first met you about that is like, oh, wow, your chair seems to have a good chunk of power to it. And then when you maneuvered to get into the studio today, it was like it'll actually spin around on itself pretty easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called a mid-wheel drive, so it does turn on the spot 360 degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is my mobility, so I need to get around and get around quickly.
Right.
Because I do I'm slower at some tasks,
mm-hmm.
it really helps to make up time if I can just open it up on straightaways and maneuver quickly to get around.
Right.
For sure.
So.
Yeah.
I just thought that was a well-thought-out, well-engineered chair. So.
Yeah, so they are.
Mm-hmm.
And ever improving, so that's good to look on the future.
Yeah. So, what about transit?
Transit.
Because I've seen a few instances with transit where the getting on and off the bus may have been some difficulties. What's your experience with that?
The bus is, in my experience, I mean... Maybe it's because of the wheelchair I have, but mm-hmm. I've found it to be okay. I can't speak for everybody, but the bigger issue, and it's a huge problem, is the taxi, the wheelchair accessible taxi situation in Vancouver. I've had to wait 3 hours, in a rainy situation, just ducking for cover wherever, and I've had taxi drivers. Like an able-bodied friend after a concert at the Commodore one time, he flagged down a cab,
right.
And the cab pulls over, and then I come out to get in, and they take off. Or I'll call a wheelchair cab, and right. a group of able-bodied people will jump in, and the cab's gone. I suspect it's because it does take a few extra moments to strap in my chair,
mm-hmm.
and maybe they're not comfortable with it. I don't know if there needs to be, like, training for wheelchair van taxi drivers. I don't know, but that's a major issue ongoing that I've found. And Handy Dart as well is...
Yeah, how does that work, Handy Dart versus the taxi?
Handy Dart, you have to book a week in advance.
So you can't even, like, just quickly call
no,
a Handy Dart
no,
to
no,
come?
No, no, no. It's on Handy Dart. Yeah, I mean, it hasn't worked for several people. I've had them drive off on me, so I try not to go that route. It's just not as efficient as cabs, but that's no better, really. I mean, I don't know how to overcome that situation. Maybe we need to have people in wheelchairs to legitimize a ride, have, like, some sort of identification that you need. And if you don't have that ID, you can't take a wheelchair van. I don't know, just a thought, just spitballing, because I'm trying to figure out a way to make it so that cabs are accessible to people that need it and not just picking up fares to pad their daily profit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know, like, taxi drivers, they have to pick up and drop off fares efficiently in order to make money.
Yeah.
But
fair game.
Yeah, it's fair enough. Nobody wants to deny them an income.
Oh no! Not
but at
all.
The same time, it's like they're there to serve.
It's a service.
Yeah.
Right.
You have been listening to Michael Rubin speaking to Mark Stockbrooks, who is the Accessible Stickers Project. You're tuned into the Community Living Show. We will be back in just a moment here on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. The Community Living Show is stories for the people with disabilities, self-advocacy, adaptive technology, and many other issues, along with accessibility issues. If you want to participate and are a member of any of the NCRA radio stations, including this station that you're listening to in the area, or if you have any story idea and want to become involved in the technician personnel, please email us. Our email address is communityliving@gmail.com. No experience necessary. People with disability or non-disability are welcome to the show.
Open Media International is a non-profit, non-partisan organization working towards informed, citizen-driven internet policy. Open Media believes in keeping the internet uncensored, open, innovative, secure, and providing universal access to fast and affordable networks. If you would like Open Media to keep campaigning for citizens and internet policy, you can donate to them at openmedia.org or openmedia.ca. You can also find them on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Google+.
Let me refresh your memory. Russians! That's right! Russians, Ruskies, Communists, Communists! Oh, now you remember.
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Russian Tim, and I'm the host of weekly punk rock radio show called Rocket from Russia. Every Tuesday, 10:30 to 11:30 a.m., Rocket from Russia is aired on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, or CITR.ca, anywhere where internet is paid for. On the show, I play new, local, and international punk rock, and I also do interviews with members of punk bands and people from the punk rock scene. If you'd like to check out the previous interviews, episodes of Rocket from Russia, and the list of upcoming shows in Vancouver, head down to my blog, rocketfromrussia.tumblr.com. Great success!
You're tuning in to the Community Living Show here on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. I'm Kelly Rayburn on the controls. Across from me is Michael Cloggs. And we also have a special guest, Mark Stockbrooks, who is the Access Stickers Project. So I'm going to pass it over to Michael for our final segment.
Thanks again, Kelly. We're still here with Mark, and we're talking about access stickers and mobility issues throughout the city. Yeah. And we were talking about transit, and you were going to mention something about Uber, but we'll get back to Uber in a second, because we've done a lot of research on how the compass gates have worked, like to get on the SkyTrain,
right?
To zap the gate open, right?
Right, right.
How do you rate that?
Well, I'm a unique case, so I can't speak for everybody, but I know for a fact a lot of people with quadriplegia have limited arm function.
Mm-hmm.
They can't manipulate their cards. Well, first they have to get them out, and in a busy period, it's a rush, right? Like,
right.
You don't want to hold up a line, so people are fumbling for their cards. And then they have to be able to reach up and tap it, which I know for a fact there's a lot of people that can't. I'm just right. lucky that I can. So, I mean, I've heard different ideas how to get about that. But they don't seem to be too receptive to those.
Right.
Yeah, for whatever reason, I don't know.
Yeah. There was one story where somebody, I think they waited at one station for, I think it was Burrard Station actually, because they had to be able to tap to get the elevator to open or something like that,
okay.
in order to get down.
Yeah.
And they had to wait for assistance.
Right, yeah.
And the assistance showed up for a long time.
They say it right on those double gates.
Yeah.
For assistance, please call, blah, blah, blah. Which, I mean, that's kind of unacceptable, in my opinion, to have to, mm-hmm. to hold up your whole day, right? I mean, freedom of movement is in the charter. I mean, we should be proactive and absolutely taking care of those. And if not, TransLink does have a comment card you can get from most attendants. And I believe it's a prepaid postage. So you can definitely, I would encourage everyone, if they notice something, to definitely log that and
yeah.
contact an attendant at the station.
Yeah.
A major issue that I've noticed, I mean, I was going to BCIT downtown taking a course.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an elevator at the station. It was closed. It was broken down for, I think, the whole 3 months of the course. So I would have to just ride my chair all the way home into Yale Town. And it would just be raining like crazy out sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I've seen that over and over, elevators that aren't working properly.
Yeah,
and they stay that way for months at a time, which, I mean, I do call in and complain, but it doesn't seem to help. So for whatever reason, I think that should be addressed as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I've actually seen that addressed in a very comical way, how they ran through a conversation, and it was a dead-end conversation with the person on the other end of the phone with TransLink. So,
mm-hmm.
I guess if somebody put it in a comedy, that I guess it's pretty true that the attendants are pretty dead-ended. They're given a script to say, and that's
yeah, the end I guess. Of it. Well, I've passed my card on to several of them, and I've even had them pose with access stickers
uh-huh.
and uploaded it to our social media. We have Facebook, and we're on Instagram
yeah.
at access stickers, 3 S's. And access stickers on Facebook. So if you want to check us out in action, I mean, I was in Manhattan earlier in the spring and was able to get some good shots around there.
Yeah.
Top of the Rockefeller Center and around town. So, yeah, there's cool content. Check out on our social media.
How did Vancouver rate over Manhattan?
Relatively speaking, I think we're a solid okay. I would mm-hmm. rate us okay.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a long way to go.
Yeah.
I mean, people are trying. Everyone's sensitive and helpful. You know, we're good Canadians, so we like to help. But, you know, the Manhattanites, they were extremely helpful too. People are, you know, generally good at the core, right? Yeah. So,
yeah, people usually have really good intentions.
Yep.
So, on with Uber, how do you think Uber could help the situation?
You know,
or not?
To be honest, I don't know enough about Uber to really safely comment, but.
Mm-hmm.
I think if an Uber driver did take it upon themselves to drive a wheelchair accessible cab, they could be like a specialist and they would have a lot of work.
Hmm.
So I think it would be a smart business venture if you did take up the wheelchair cab driving niche of the population. Yeah, because I mean, I know people in wheelchairs are always looking for cabs, and if you for example, I'll be downtown on Granville on a weekend or something, and I'll have to ask a regular passenger van to send a wheelchair van. When I mean, if there was an Uber person in the just kind of circling that entertainment district,
mm-hmm.
they would definitely pick up rides.
Yeah,
for sure. And I mean, I think the hotels, they should have a little bit more onus on them to have wheelchair cabs respond. I've been to hotels and waited 2-3 hours, and even, you know, I mean, that should be a high priority call for a wheelchair van, is to a hotel. So
right.
So I mean, there's a lot of kinks to work out. I don't have the answers, but I just can report it firsthand.
Yeah.
What I experience. Actually, I bought a GoPro camera so that I can sort of document it on my own, do my own little personal expose. So I'm just trying to figure that out.
Yeah, that would be a pretty cool idea.
That'd be a good tool.
Yeah,
sure.
Have your own YouTube channel.
I think I should consider that as well.
Yeah. So you have a YouTube channel?
I don't. No,
yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
Not yet.
So.
Not yet. I have a little bit of time I could dedicate. So.
Yeah.
Among the emails and phone calls and visits back and stuff, I think. And it's terrific to be on a program like this because, as it is now, I'm mostly doing this on my own. So mm-hmm. it's just me going, you know, person to business, one at a time. So if I can, pardon the pun, but like use a broadcast spray to coat the masses, that would be a lot more effective and efficient. So yeah. I think it's a cool idea to have a YouTube channel. I just have to find the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So, it may be something that I may know some people to help you out with that.
Oh, that would be that would be excellent. Yeah, thanks, Michael.
Yeah, you know, because one of the people that are friends of the show is also with the BC Disability Caucus. So maybe they might have some
cool. Yeah, it'd be great to partner up with some people. I've approached several places, but I think, I mean, as an independent person who's self-funded, I have the reign to be a little more assertive than some of the other organizations, advocacy groups in town, which helps. I mean, I'm not a jerk, but I have to be assertive and upfront about it.
Yeah. You said you're self-funded, so how does that work out?
Well, whatever money I do have, which I'm not flush with cash, but it's definitely a good investment, I think, not just for myself, but for other people, and mm-hmm. just trying to start a legacy. I'm just trying to start this thing, and hopefully others can jump on board too. But I also, that said, I need to figure out a system, like a system. I mean, I've talked with people about building an app, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've heard around town people thinking, like, trying to develop a system of notification. I mean, I'm kind of half-assed doing that with the Instagram, but I don't have an actual process and system of criteria and info dissemination. So that's something I could also use some consultation with.
Right. Well, let's see what we can. You're on air here, so let's say it's like, hey, everybody who's, if you're listening to this, is like, this may be a great opportunity.
It would help a lot of people.
help a lot of people out with this, touch lives.
I could really see this. I mean, the reception's been nothing but warm. Mm-hmm. People think it's a great idea. I tend to agree. And I think if we get the ball started here, I've also approached Tourism Vancouver because at that writing seminar we were at that you mentioned, right. I went straight out after because it wrapped early on the last day of the Sunday. And mm-hmm. I had access stickers on me, so I thought, oh, it was a nice day out. It's a perfect exposure. I can go and slap a few places and take some good pictures, good exposure, right? Good lights.
Right.
So, and Tourism Vancouver office is right outside of Canada Place and where the Fairmont Pack Rim is. So I went in there. They had a push-to-open button, so they got the Access Hero green sticker with a check mark.
Right.
They got that. So I went in and told them, and I said, that's great. Like, good on ya. But do you have a list of wheelchair-accessible establishments in the city, like throughout the city, bars, restaurants, clubs, theaters, all that?
Mm-hmm.
And they looked at me and said, we should have that, but they don't. Yeah. And I mean, there was a couple of cruise ships right there, the terminals there, of course, and we have elder members of the populations coming from all over the world. And if we could be a leader in that respect,
mm-hmm.
and having a system of notation of accessibility, I think this idea could really spread. I would love to see that, just to go worldwide. I mean, I have sent stickers up north to Nunavut.
Yeah.
I mean, our northern areas, obviously our rural areas are hurting for accessibility, but you got to start somewhere. So I will ship out stickers.
It's a good idea to have that list, because that could be like a really good marketing tool for all the businesses in the area that have wheelchair accessibility. Oh, they increase the business, right?
Huge. I mean, if we became known as an accessible city for travel and tourism, I mean, we have a pretty good infrastructure already. But if we added that one other component of being known as an accessible destination and still developing our accessibility, then we're just going to bring more people here, and it's great for Tourism Vancouver. It's great for businesses. It's great for people on vacation. So if we can start that here, I think it could spread, and that's what I would love to see.
Yeah. Okay. And the stickers are red and green for yes, you're doing a great job. No, you're not doing such a great job.
Right.
But how do people get a hold of you?
Okay. You can email me at 6899 Marcus, that's MARKUS, at gmail.com. That's probably the best way, or through our Facebook or Instagram.
Okay.
So once more, at Instagram, it's at Access Stickers, that's three S's. So it's phonetically correct.
Yeah.
One word, Access Stickers, three S's.
ACESSSTICKERS. Okay.
Access stickers.
And we'll make sure we get that up on our Facebook page also.
Cool.
All right.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Michael. Of course, Mark Starkbrooks is the Access Stickers Project. Hope to hear from you again next week. Next week, we might be talking about more issues on fibromyalgia. Michael will be talking about more on that next week. So I will have more information on it, and I will pass it along to you next week. If you want to hear from us, go right ahead. Our email address is communitylivingradio@gmail.com. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/users/CLivingRadio. All right? Just to be sure about the Facebook situation. And we're also on Twitter at CLivingRadio. We're on three different stations on the Community Living Show. One is on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at CITR.ca. We're broadcast every Tuesday afternoons from 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And on Co-op Radio CFRO 100.5 FM, and we're streaming online at cooperadio.org. And you're tuned in on that day on Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. And also, we are on in the Nanaimo area in British Columbia on CHLY FM. 101.7 FM is the dial in Nanaimo. You can reach them at www.chly.ca. Thanks again for tuning in, and we're also on the NCRA radio networks. Go to previous.ncra.ca for all other podcasts as well, including our podcast, The Community Living Show. Thanks again so much, and we'll see you all again next week. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Estoy sintiendo mi camino a través de la oscuridad, guiada por mi corazón. No sé decir dónde el viaje va a terminar, pero sé por dónde empezar. Me dicen que soy demasiado joven para entender que estoy atrapada en un sueño. Bueno, la vida me pasará si no abro los ojos. Bueno, por mí está bien.
Despiértame cuando todo haya terminado. Cuando sea mayor y más sabia. Todo este tiempo he estado encontrándome a mí misma. Y no sabía que me perdí. Solo tengo dos manos. Deseo tener la oportunidad de viajar por el mundo, pero yo no tengo planes. Deseo poder quedarme así de joven para siempre. No temo cerrar los ojos. La vida es un juego hecha para todos. El amor es el premio.
Despiértame cuando todo haya terminado. Cuando sea mayor y más sabio. Todo este tiempo he estado encontrándome a mí misma. Y no sabía que me perdí.
Become a CITR member and make some new friends.
Members get discounts downtown at Little Sisters Book and Art Emporium, the Cinematheque, the Fall Tatooine, Selectors Records, Community Thrift and Vintage, Vinyl Records, Sakura's, Classical Records, and Beat Street Records.
What would we do without our friends?
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Snatches of music. Hold
orchestras play inside our heads.
And then it explodes into this enormous collage.